Pastor Chris Gordon begins today's broadcast with a concern.
There's one great concern that I've seen in the ministry, I've seen by every godly parent, that if this wrong choice is made, it will have a painful effect and a consequence upon them for the rest of their life. And no parent wants to see this. What is it? It's who they marry.
Indeed, that is a concern for each and every one of us, especially if we are followers of Christ. We long for the best of our children, and that includes marriage. Marriage under God's delight, God's gaze, and God's grace. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to the book of Genesis once again today. We focus back in chapter 24, verses 1 through 67. It's a message Pastor Chris is simply entitled, How Do I Know Who to Marry? A great question with some marvelous answers. Let's go.
Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down beside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please give me a little water to drink from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and 2 bracelets for her arm weighing 10 gold shekels and said, please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night. The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman. Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out toward the man to the spring. As soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, Thus the man spoke to me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. He said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels and gave straw and fodder to the camels. And there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. The food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have said what I have to say." He said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my clan and take a wife for my son.' I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and prosper your way. You shall take a wife for my son from my clan and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my clan. And if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath.' I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you are prospering the way that I go, behold, I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.' Before I had finished speaking, in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her water jar on her shoulder. And she went down to the spring and drew water. I said to her, 'Please let me drink.' She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, 'Drink, and I will give your camels drink also.' So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. Then I asked her, 'Whose daughter are you?' She said, 'The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah had bore to him.' So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you are going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left.' Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, 'This thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go. Let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken.' When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver and of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank. And they spent the night there. When they arose in the morning, he said, 'Send me away to my master.' Her brother and her mother said, 'Let the young woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days. After that, she may go.' But he said to them, 'Do not delay me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to the master, my master.' They said, 'Let us call the young woman and ask her.' And they called Rebekah and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' She said, 'I will go.' So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, 'Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him.' Then Rebekah and her young women arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had returned from Beer Lahai Roy and was dwelling in the Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, 'Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?' The servant said, 'It is my master.' So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. I'm going to be a little bit personal up front. I think this will help this morning to get to the heart of the story. During my college years, I really struggled with direction in my own life. I had questions, you know, what am I going to do with my life? Who am I going to marry? And I really wanted answers to those questions. And I was pushing to get answers for those questions. In fact, I forced it so much that in college, I got engaged to a gal. I got engaged to a gal to be married. She was a nice gal. She was a kind gal. And I thought, well, she must be the one. She was a new Christian. She went to church with me. She was on the softball team at the state college that I attended. And within 1 week, she had 3 concussions given to her playing softball. She broke off the engagement. Now, I felt after that, at least I justified it by thinking she wasn't in her right mind, but it was painful. I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. I went back to the Central Valley of California, and for me, that felt like, man, that's just a giant step backwards to go back there. I mean, what good can come out of Lemoore? It was about that time that my grandmother was dying. And I was really close with my grandmother. I loved my grandmother. She was a huge influence on me spiritually. My grandmother taught me a lot. We were very close. About a week before she died, my father said to me, "Hey, guess who's back in town? Darcy's back in town." I got over the other girl pretty quick. I gave Darcy a call. And one of our early first dates was taking her to the hospital the night my grandmother died. And I remember Darcy had never met my grandmother, but there she was sitting out in the hospital while I was visiting my grandmother for the last time. And it was a very emotional thing for me. And of course, you know what happened. We ended up getting married. This one actually happened. But as I stood back from the whole thing and I realized that I had tried to rush life and tried to make things happen my way, and I realized in the moment after this whole series of events had finished, that God had supplied in my own loss the greatest blessing he could have ever given me. After a series of painful events, the woman who he had chosen for me to be married was brought to me under circumstances that made no sense, situations that made no sense, timing that made no sense. I don't know, I'm sure many of you have experienced this in the course of life, that you go through life and something is lost, someone is lost, and you have a loss. And then right about that moment, if you keep your eyes open, the Lord provides somebody else. A new baby is born. Somebody else is thrown onto the scene of life. And you stand back from all of these kinds of situations and the chain of events that have unfolded before you when they've run their course, they leave such an overwhelming impression upon you that basically, if your eyes are open to see what has just happened, all you can do is bow in humble recognition that God is with you. And you see it, even though you didn't always see it, you see it in the chain of events that have worked so perfectly together, even though they didn't seem to work together when you were going through it. Now it's all perfectly come together and you see the end for which the Lord intended. Not always, but sometimes you do. We call these strange, mysterious, enigmatic events providence. And if you keep your eyes on the workings of the Lord all around you as you should, seeing him often take impossible odds or huge stumbling blocks or situations that there's no way, humanly speaking, it could work out, this possible thing that we're concerned about and worried about, or the things that we fear. He is so working through all these things to overcome these obstacles that when it's all said and done, you see it. All you do is bow and give praise and glory to God for his sheer power that he put on display before you. The Christian gets an eye to that the world can't see. It's an amazing thing. And then we stand in awe of our Creator, whose wisdom and power supersedes anything that we ever thought or imagined, that he is that in control of everything, and that he is working every single event for good for his people. You have that kind of story in front of you this morning. But it's a story full of obstacles. It's a story full of human impossibilities. And the great question of the text is, how is the line of salvation going to continue if Isaac has no bride? Sarah's died now. And how will the Lord overcome this immense problem? And it's an immense problem, full of impossibilities that the text is showing you, humanly speaking, full of obstacles. And you see, the Lord wants us to see this. The Lord wants us, that's why all this detail is given for you to understand the doctrine of providence, how we go forward when we don't know what to do, when you struggle with the question of what is the will of God, which I know a lot of our young people struggle with. The circumstances before them all these years ago were impossible. There were all these obstacles. This morning, the Lord is teaching us when we don't know direction, when we don't understand what to do. He's teaching us how to handle that. He's giving us a perspective on what to do, how to move forward. He's not left us in darkness about that, so that through whatever it is, we would learn to trust him. Then he has assured us he'll guide our steps and supply our needs, even when every human obstacle has been set in front of you. Now, the scene opens with this. In verse 1, we read, Abraham was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. I love the opening to this because you're expecting, it's anticipating that this blessing is going to continue, that whatever is about to happen, you don't have to doubt at all that the blessing that he's experienced throughout the whole course of his life, you're going to expect to continue until the moment of death and he's taken into the arms of the Lord, right? We can expect that. But the Lord wants us to think about right here how that's going to take shape. The blessing that Abraham had received throughout the whole course of life had never been dependent on his works. It had never been dependent on his goodness. What we've seen is unconditional, relentless love and grace showered upon this man from start to the end. And God called him, God blessed him, and it has been a life of heaping blessings on this man. Heaping grace and more grace. Grace upon grace. That's what he's known. That's what we've seen. That's why I love studying the life of Abraham. So whatever is about to happen, we can expect it. Now, here is Abraham. He's old. He's ready to die. Next sermon is his death. What is the concern of every single godly parent? What is the great concern of every single godly parent? You know what it is. It's the concern when you look at your children and you think of the future that there is a critical juncture in life, a critical moment in life that they come to, a critical period in life that our children come to. And it's a hurdle that they have to get over. It's a big hurdle. There's a giant hurdle right in the middle of the track, and they don't know how to jump over that hurdle. They struggle with that hurdle. And if bad decisions are made, if they don't handle it well, it will absolutely affect the future. It will absolutely hurt their future. This is why, by the way, we have the impact group. We have the impact group because we want to help our young people think through these issues, and as a church, embrace them and help them to think through. We have to talk to them, let them talk, and also instruct them and guide them. It's such a crucial time in life. But there's one great concern that I've seen in the ministry, I've seen by every godly parent, that if this wrong choice is made, it will have a painful effect and a consequence upon them for the rest of their life. And no parent wants to see this. What is it? It's who they marry. Abraham had received the sign of the covenant. God had made promises to Abraham and to who? His children. Abraham is now relying on that. But he knows that if Isaac marries a woman outside of that, the consequences are devastating to God's plan. He already half tried to do that himself, and it was a giant mess. And I want you to notice what's driving this man. I want you to notice what's driving this godly parent. Do you realize that what is set before you today in Genesis 24 are the last words of Abraham's life recorded for you? The last words you're ever going to get in Scripture by Father Abraham. And wouldn't you be curious to know, well, I wonder what was his concern. I wonder what he cared about. I wonder what he believed. I wonder what he said. That's what you have in Genesis 24, and particularly verse 7. I love this verse. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me. Remember Genesis 15. To your offspring, I will give this land. I want to pause there for a moment. What do you hear in him? I mean, this is not the bumbling Abraham that we saw at the beginning of his life. This is a man believing and resting and trusting in Christ. And it's a beautiful moment in the scriptures. But that's not how he began. You remember when God in Genesis chapter 15 made the promise and Abraham challenged him. And the first thing he says, oh, Lord, but you've given me no children. How do you expect me to believe that with no children? And here we are at the end. And he is saying, notice the confidence. The Lord swore it. He promised me life. He promised me a kingdom. He promised me the land. He promised me the forgiveness and eternal life. Forgiveness of sins. This man is completely believing the promise that salvation would come from his seed. And that seed is Jesus. Parents, when they come to this kind of conviction, do what? What did the Lord say about Abraham? That one of the very workings that he would accomplish in Abraham's life, what it would be. Remember what he said in Genesis chapter 17 of one of the reasons he had set him apart, what the fruit of that great work of redemption and salvation and justification, what the fruit consequentially would be. I have known him that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness.
How do I know who to marry and why? Couple of questions we are answering here today and tomorrow on the program. Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. Well, as we conclude our time today, we look forward to tomorrow's broadcast. Once again, here's Pastor Chris to give us a sneak peek at tomorrow's program.
Genesis began with a wedding that fell. Adam and Eve's wedding tumbled down into shame and sin. The groom and the bride failed terribly. God starts showing us a wedding that's about ready to come all throughout history, in preparation for the end of history, because the end of Revelation, the end of history ends with a wedding. All of history has shown us that God has been faithful, orchestrating all the events of history to bring his bride to his bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Revelation says, let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory. For at the very end, the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the story. That's the end of history. And our lives and our marriages are designed to reflect that. And young people, that's why we care about who you marry.
And indeed, we do. More tomorrow on Abounding Grace. Join us then. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.